This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's all about sustainable travel on today's show, and a prime example of that concept is the Sumba Hospitality Foundation in Indonesia.
My name is Inge de la Tower, and I'm the founder of the Sumba Hospitality Foundation.
My name is Redem Tatetebato, and I'm head of the foundation.
I got to catch Inge and Demta at Webin Travel Singapore because I really wanted to know more about how Sumba functioned as a multifaceted foundation. See, the project that's run by Inge and Demta isn't just a resort that's eco-friendly. There's also a school there where selected students, and I say selected because there's a very stringent process in place, where selected students will learn hospitality skills and go on to either work at the resort or move to other areas where they can apply those skills. It's all in an attempt to break the cycle of poverty in that area by empowering the locals to take the economy into their own hands. Pretty fascinating stuff. But I also got to ask Inge about tourism being a double-edged sword. You know, if you develop part of Sumba and it turns into a Bali-esque attraction, then how is that sustainable? How do you balance the sustainability? Then there's, of course, the issue of financing. That's a big problem of manpower, of balancing profits and eco-sensitivity, as well as protecting the sensitivities of the Sumbanese people.
The original plan for the foundation is to be an education center to really prepare local people for tourism development that was coming to the island. Our students are between 17 and 23 years old. We have seen that 60% of that age category on the island are all unemployed. So there needs to be, for us, the young generation are the future. They are the ones who can break the circle of poverty. Once they have good jobs and a steady income, they can help their families and also their brothers and sisters to really get a better life.
Yeah, so Sumba is one of like a unique island. Yeah, we have a lot of potential for tourism. And then like Ibu Inge said before, we want to protect this island. We not only like people come and visit Sumba Island, but we want to keep this island beautiful. And then for now and then for future. So because it's like for us, sustainability tourism is only way, not only like to ask people, attract people to come and visit our island, but in the same time we'll benefit for the locals. And then it's like, local will get more income for that, and at the same time preserving their culture and environmental. Yeah, this is really, really important. So, and then sustainability is not only concept for someone to do, but responsible tourism or sustainability tourism is like responsible for everyone. If you want to keep this world nice, so you start with small island, with your community, your island as a travelers, as a businessman or the people who like working with the business, you have same responsibility to taking care for the island.
When did you know that this could be a profitable venture or like a venture that could, you know, sort of sustain itself?
Well, I believe, you know, pure charity is never a good thing because you depend too much on donations and it's not sustainable for the long time. So the ideal is to have a hybrid model, a combination of a for-profit and a non-profit so that one can really provide a steady revenue for the other. So it's always the hope. For the moment, we're not there yet. It's a big challenge to cover all the costs. An education center is very costly. So our revenue from the hotel only covers like 30%. So we still have to be creative and look for solutions how to cover the other 70% that we need to for the future. It would be easy to make it financially sustainable if we would make it a 100 hotel room property. But then again, the students don't have time to study. So there's always this balance that for us, we are in the first place, an education center. So our students need to have enough time to study, to really learn, and then they do the practical in the hotel. So it's been really a balance to see we want them to learn, to really become very high qualified people, professional people, and not just workers, because then we lose the education side.
I want to talk about funding a bit, because I know when it comes to stuff that's eco-friendly, stuff that's more of a social enterprise, funding is very, very difficult. So much of the foundation is funded by you and your family. Doesn't that put a lot of strain on you financially, like on a personal level?
It's a personal choice. I think the reason why it started like this is because when I arrived in Sumba, I saw this huge potential as a tourist destination. But on the other hand, I also could see that through the extreme poverty of the local population, this could turn out to be really disastrous. I visited Bali for the first time 40 years ago, 40. So I know what Bali looked like at that time. Today, it's mass tourism. You have a lot of pollution, and even there's still a lot of poverty in Bali. So Sumba was even more an extreme case, I would say, because it's one of the poorest islands of Indonesia. So I know I had to do something, but fast. I did not have the time for 5 years fundraising to really get all the funds together, because it could have been too late. So the development is going slow, but we're kind of happy it is moving slowly forward. What we're trying to do is to train as many young people of the islands to become professionals, so that they and their community can really benefit from this economic development.
Is securing funding difficult, though? Because the phrase social enterprise, like I mentioned, comes with its own connotations. It's like VCs and investors see it as high risk. So is it, how easy or how difficult is it to get funding for the Sumba Hospitality Foundation?
It's not easy, and I prefer to say, instead of a non-profit, we are a for-purpose enterprise. We're now in a stage that we're looking into making a training restaurant with will be a real social enterprise, meaning a real restaurant where all the revenue will come to support also the vocational hospitality school. So like a real business. I don't think the social enterprise, in our case, it's a very risky business. We've been really researching the market. There's not enough restaurants there, so definitely we have a good possibility to make it a success and to really create revenue to show that it's really possible.
You know, whenever you have something sustainable, the issue of growth always crops up, because how do you tackle growth while also being sustainable and being eco-sensitive and keeping the authenticity of the place? Because oftentimes growth comes by compromising one of those things.
So I think in our grand design, why I like Inge's idea, because since beginning, she had like really clear vision about Sumba. The combinations, like we want to build an example for sustainability tourism. When we talk an example, in whole entire program and concept, what we build, the school, the program, is a combination between, sustainability and financially, and then education in the other part. So by having this combination between profit and sustainability as a concept, we want to build an example in inspiring the future investors and government as well to do same things. I mean, like, you have responsibility not like for the future investors. You're not only coming as a people to take a profit from this island, but you have responsibility to giving back to the community, invest to education, training, helping community around you to grow, because it's like as a social concept integrated with the profit. So when you support community, you make safe for your business too, yeah, for the future. So of course Sumba Hospitality cannot tackle all the things, but at least we play as a small roles. It's a part of like big campaign to bring future for Sumba.
Were the people of Sumba welcoming to the idea? Like when you first started and the local Sumbanese people learned about this resort, were they okay with it? Was there any pushback?
Yeah, in the first time, you know, because it's like tourism is the new concept for Sumba, so they don't have any clue about tourism as well. So when we talk about, we have to prepare this island because we see the tourism is growing right now. But for the community people, they only as a farmer, they're only looking for like what they have today and then for tomorrow, yeah? So it is not, they're not like really defense, but they really, you know, it's not really accepted as a something important for them. And then it's like more hard because few key stakeholders, they have like a power. They want to take advantage for this kind of like schools like us because they're seeing as a foreigner, yeah? They're seeing a foreigner and then they say, okay, they bring money and then they want to look at the quick money only for themselves, but they don't seeing the big pictures of the futures of this island.
How did you tackle that?
So with Inge, we travel all over Sumba because Sumba is like really big islands, like we have four regions. So we talk close with the community and try to understanding what they want, what their visions about their island, and then talk with the local government, with the key stakeholders, and then we're doing like socializations for more than 50 schools. So for us, when people understand, they will like support, not only support us, but they support the community. So the poverty is not only about lack of that opportunity, but lack of the spirit too, yeah, motivations. Because in if you see your neighbor, you see your uncle, you see all whole family have like the same situations like that. So this will be, you know, no motivations for you to really jumping on and making new life for you, new future for you.
We're talking about sustainable travel on today's Open for Business. We will be back with more from Inge and Demta and the Sumba Hospitality Foundation, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Inge and Demta are the tag team that runs the Sumba Hospitality Foundation in Indonesia, and they are also our guests on today's show. I managed to catch up with them at Web and Travel Singapore, and we are currently discussing eco-sensitive travel and breaking the cycle of poverty by empowering local students in the travel scene. Are you ever worried that your resort, or not more of your resort, just Sumba itself, might become too popular because, you know, the idea is to keep the vibe of the island, to keep it secure, to keep it protected. If it turns out being like another, let's say like another Bali, does that worry you in any way?
Absolutely. We do not want it to become Bali. So, no, we want development, economic development for Sumba because it's important. People need jobs, people need income. But we want it for the long term. What we talked about to government is, for example, is to say, you know, there's so many islands around the world with beautiful beaches and pristine environment. But once you don't take care of that environment and you ruin it, then all the tourists will go away and will move on because there's so many more other places that are undiscovered. And that's why we actually built this example about, you know, what is responsible tourism really about. And also to show future investors, you know, if a non-profit can do this, be 100% off-grid with solar panels, have a water-saving program, have no plastic policy, build in local material, really put money into training of local people, for profit, for sure, can do that. And that is what we're trying to communicate with the local government to say, you know, this is the way forward. Make it easier for investors to build businesses because now it's really hard and you need a lot of papers and it takes a lot of time. Make it easier for investors, but put rules, say, please come, invest your money because we need the jobs. But you have to have a plan for your waste. You have to have a plan for your energy, for the water. You have at least have a certain percentage of your area that you don't build on, that you keep green. You have to employ minimum 70-80% local people. Mm-hmm. You can say all these things if you facilitate business. So we don't want Sumba to become an island. We're not naive. We really want economic development. But we believe that tourism can be a force for good if we do it the right way, if it's planned the right way. and if the local communities are really involved from the start. It yes. has to benefit the local yes. communities. Otherwise, it's not sustainable for anyone.
Coming back to the school for a bit, you said that charity for the sake of charity isn't good, which is why you only pick like a handful of students to join the school itself to take on the syllabus.
Well, we have an extensive selection process. So first we send out a written test. Every year we get about 800 applications. From the 800 applications, we put down to 300. We interview 300 young people, and from 300, we only take 60. So it's really hard to get in. How we really choose them on the interview is people who have a big dream, who are really motivated. We don't look at results of high school. They have to have a minimum high school diploma. That is really some of our prerequisites. They have to be between 17 and 23 years old, from underprivileged background and high school diploma. But during the interview, what we try to see is a sparkle in the eye, the ones who really believe in to dream big. Because mm-hmm. we always tell them, if your dream is small, you will only be able to help your family small. But if your dream is big, you can really help big. So if someone comes to us on an interview and says, I want to become a famous chef in Japan, that guy is in. Yeah. Or I want to see the Eiffel Tower one day, I want to work in Paris, even if they've never seen or heard about it, but just through Instagram or Facebook or something. If they can really see that one day they could be there, those are the ones we choose.
Can the ones who don't get in reapply again? Like, do they get another shot?
Yes, yeah. They can reapply as many times as they want. That's why we made the choice of age rather large, so between 17 and 23. And we also, every time after the interview, we give them feedback why we did not choose them. So we tell them, you know, if you would try to learn some more English or maybe try to get a job in a local restaurant or something, and then you come back to us and you tell us what you did extra to really earn your place in here. If that person comes back the next year, even with poor English or whatever, he's in, because we see he listened, he really wants this. So that's a person we need to give a chance to.
So you're looking for quality instead of quantity?
I really prefer quality above quantity. We cannot help all the young people in Sumba. But if we provide quality, from that will be they will become really, like Demta said, the role models for the future. We train them to become supervisors, managers, owners, business owners. We don't want to train them just to do the low jobs and be stuck with it for the rest of their lives.
What kinds of challenges are you facing at the moment at Sumba?
Yeah, so at the moment it's like, this is quite difficult to find. First year, second year, until 3 years, we're easy to have volunteers. But because we want to improve the quality of educations, we want to get more like expert peoples coming and sharing their knowledge, their skills for the students. Not only come and visit, but I mean like engage with community, understanding students, because we have like different kind of background of the students. And then it's like sometimes we get people coming, but they don't really understand about the cultures and their background of the students. Because it's like, you know, Sumbanese is like really they're growing up in a really remote area. They don't even know like what Inge said about the hotels. They've never been in hotels before. So it's like when we're teaching them, it's first 3 months, it's like we teach them it's really, really basic, even how to use the toilet. You know, it's like clean their hand, there's like really challenges. So if we get more people coming and sharing, yes, will be nice,
as
yeah?
Volunteers,
as a yes. volunteers.
Also, I think one of the other challenges we have is with our guests, yeah. that our guests don't always understand the yeah. place they are at. We really provide 4-5-star luxury. That's also where our students are going to work at later. So our accommodation is absolutely beautiful. Our food is the best food on the island. The service is really like a 4-5-star hotel. But of course, we are not a 4-5-star hotel. And also we have with our program about water saving and electricity, our rooms have air conditionings in the bed, but not the entire room, because our rooms are out of bamboo. We don't have windows, so it's like more rustic style. We don't have television in every room. We don't provide 24-hour room service because the students need to sleep. So we really try to give as much as we can, but we want our guests to be also understanding about, you know, this is a special kind of hotel. And by staying with us, you donate, because 100% of the income of the hotel goes back to the program, to those students. So that's also a challenge to most of the people. Most of our guests are completely in love with the project, but some don't understand why we're not the fully air-conditioned 24-hour connected place. So.
Misconceptions.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. What about expansion? Like, what is next for Sumba?
So the foundation, we will open next year our first training restaurant. So if this is successful, this is a social enterprise. I mentioned we will be able to take 24 extra students from the intake, from the 300 we interview. Our first-year graduates will become the trainers of those students. And like this, we also encourage them entrepreneurship, how to run their own business. If this is successful, we want to build 3 new restaurants, so in every region, which means 4 restaurants that all the benefit, all the profit will go to support the vocational hotel school, which is has a very high cost. But also we will be able to take 3 times more students from the ones we interview. So that's our expansion in the next years to come. And we hope we have some people who are interested, who really come and see how they can copy our model. So we are very open to share our curriculum and our expertise. People can come to learn. So other destinations, other countries, hospitality partners or other philanthropists who want to do the same thing, we're very open to share everything we have so we can scale the model.
I've been speaking with Inga Deletowe and Demta Tetebato about the Sumba Hospitality Foundation and breaking the cycle of poverty by empowering the local students. This interview is also available via podcast on the BFM website, which is bfm.my, or the BFM app if you have the BFM app, or you can find us on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.